This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. In a moment, we'll talk with movie critic Marshall Fine about Mad Max and Pitch Perfect 2. But first, the average office workers get interrupted every 11 minutes, according to researchers with an American office furniture company. Researchers say office workers are dealing with more information being thrown at them at a faster pace. And the action of multitasking is said to reduce cognitive capability. Researchers compare it to a person losing a night's sleep. According to scientists, the typical day for students and workers have them switching tasks every 3 minutes. Brief interruptions, even just a few seconds, generally cause workers to make twice as many mistakes. And after a break of flow, employees take an average of 23 minutes to get back on task because the action requires more mental effort. It seems most people can only maintain sustained focus, the act of giving attention to a task while filtering out or ignoring extraneous information, for about 45 minutes. The bottom line? Don't beat yourself up for being easily distracted. By nature, humans react to certain stimuli. So what can you do to better maintain your focus? The suggestions may be harder for some than others. The research suggests that you simply limit the amount of stimuli around you. This can be done by turning messages off on your phone, turning your email reminders off, and reducing ambient noise around you. Research by the company found that 98% of highly engaged employees were able to concentrate easily at work, and 95% were able to work in teams without being disrupted. The idea is to create an environment where you can focus on your work. Another study says having more sex might make you less happy. A study had one group of married couples having sex twice as often a week as they usually do, and another group who have sex as often as usual. By the end of the study, the couples who were having more sex found themselves more unhappy in their relationship and less sexually fulfilled. Researchers suggested that forcing people to have more sex could actually get in the way of them enjoying it more. People may be happier to be spontaneous and have sex when they choose instead of scheduling it like an appointment. A federal court rules that the NSA surveillance program revealed by Edward Snowden is illegal, but it doesn't shut it down. A federal appeals court ruled that the National Security Agency program is illegal. The ACLU sued the government, claiming that the NSA's mass surveillance program that collects data from American cell phones violates the ban on warrantless searches under the Fourth Amendment. The court ruled that since the program was not authorized by the Patriot Act, it is illegal. But they did not shut it down, instead leaving it up to Congress to decide. Amazon changed their online store for children's toys by removing the filters boy and girl. Now all toys will be targeted for both genders. While customers can still filter toy results by age or type of toy, there's no longer a way to section off toys by gender. Some say that Amazon is being bullied by feminists and those who are too politically correct. Police in San Antonio are investigating how a packet of cocaine ended up inside a wrapped Nature Valley granola bar. A woman says she was eating the bar when a small green bag with dollar signs printed on it fell out. The woman contacted General Mills thinking she'd won a prize, but company officials told her to call the police. Investigators determined the bag contained cocaine, and they're now trying to determine how the package got inside the granola bar wrapper. A rep for General Mills says they're confident the drugs weren't placed in the wrapper at their facility. He's a weekly contributor. Film critic Marshall Fine is also the critic in residence at the Picture House in Pelham. We got two big movies that are opening this week and are subject of a lot of intrigue, and that's Mad Max Fury Road. This is a prequel, a sequel. What is this?
Boy, it's hard to say. I would say that it's a reboot. I'd say that they're rethinking the movies from the 1980s and sort of starting over. If anything, I guess I place it in the story after the original movie, Mad Max, which was like 1979, and sort of made Mel Gibson a star. The movie that really broke through was Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, which really brought him to prominence. And then the last one was Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. That was 1985. So it's been 30 years since we've seen Mad Max. We've got a new actor playing him, Tom Hardy, who played Bane in the Dark Knight Returns and a couple of other movies. Really a hot young actor, perfect for this part. anybody who's seen the Mad Max movies knows that they're all about the car chases, all about the action. And it's the same director and writer here, George Miller, who created this series 30 years ago. He's now 70, but he hasn't lost a step in terms of creating the kind of action that they have. These are some of the most exciting car chases I've seen in a long time, because so much of it is obviously real and done with stuntmen and real cars, as opposed to being done with computer-generated imagery like a lot of the, like, say, the Fast and the Furious, those kind of movies. This movie has, you know, really outstanding, a car chase that had my, I realized my mouth was hanging open at one point because I was so blown away by what I was seeing. That's the good news. The bad news is that I sort of came up to catch my breath, and I looked at my watch wondering how much was left, and realized we're only an hour into this movie, and there's still another hour left, and that last hour takes a while to get through. This was the same problem, really, if you go back and look at it with the Thunderdome movie, that he really, really, you know, just revved it up and hit a huge climax at about the hour mark, and then kind of limped to the finish line in the second hour. There's more, there's action in the last half hour here, but really, this movie could be about 20 minutes shorter and be really a tight little classic instead of a 90-minute movie trying to, you know, trying to fight its way out of a two-hour shell.
Well, you would have thought in 30 years he would have realized that and, you know, and put it together a little tighter this time.
Well, I guess after all this time, he's had a lot of ideas and he wanted to make sure he got them all in there. Plus, he obviously has, you know, a bigger budget here and can do things, you know, that he couldn't do before. You know, I mean, this is all set in a post-apocalyptic future when we're short of gas, short of water, and there are these warlords who have sort of taken over the earth after the apocalypse. So some of it, you know, then you see that one of these warlords has built himself an entire sort of steampunk empire inside in a mountain, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, they don't have gas, they don't have water, you know, there's really no electricity. How did they actually do this? But, you know, the movie moves too fast for you really sort of dwell on questions like that. It's really more about the chases, about the near misses. The action is really almost nonstop in that first hour, and it's exciting, Zach.
All right, let's talk about Pitch Perfect 2. This is obviously a sequel to the original. Does this one stand up?
No, I think this movie has a bad case of sequelitis. This movie is also almost 2 hours long, and boy, that's about an hour too much for me, but really it was actually 2 hours too much for me. The first movie, Pitch Perfect, which came out in 2012, was a kind of a surprise hit. It starred Anna Kendrick as sort of a rebellious young college freshman who has great singing chops and winds up as part of the competitive a cappella female singing group at her college, which goes on to win a national championship. So now we're back in the second film. They're all seniors, and they have an embarrassing moment at the beginning that costs them their title, and so they have to come back and go to the world championships at the end to sort of reclaim their place. The first one, what it had going for it, was sort of the element of surprise. It was kind of, it came out, I think, around the same time as Bridesmaids, and it was one of these sort of all-girl comedies focusing on music with, you know, a little bit of raunchy humor. Most of it's provided by the Australian actress Rebel Wilson. They're all back in this one, but it's like the jokes are so haphazard, so scattershot. There are, you know, seem like, you know, a half a dozen different subplots going on, none of which are either interesting or really resolved in an interesting way. It's directed actually by Elizabeth Banks, who's an actress you might recognize. She's actually in the movie too. This is her first directing job, but really it's like she's the conductor and she's been promoted to engineer while the train is still running. So, you know, it's she's mostly a traffic cop here. So it's really, you know, there's an audience for this movie. They're about 15 years old, and, you know, I'm sure that they will enjoy it.
But not so much Marshall Fine.
Or, you know, men, generally.
Yeah, or anybody over the age of 15.
I think that's true. I mean, I was not a fan of the TV show Glee. I'm someone who really believes in sort of the power and magic of music, and these movies, you know, take the most mundane, inane songs and treat them as if they're classics. I remember in the first film, one of the girls was so excited. She said, "Oh, we get to sing a song by Kelly Clarkson," as though she were talking about Ella Fitzgerald or Joni Mitchell. So like I said, it's aimed at a younger audience that, and I've always found that younger people have their own taste, but they also don't have much discrimination.
Well, I saw the trailer for it, and I thought it was a funny line where she's being dissed by the German guy, and she says, was that a form of intimidation? Because if it was, World War II, you know, that was her punchline.
Yes. No, that's a running joke, is that, you know, the Germans are their big nemesis in this, and she can never come up with a good insult to hurl back at them. And it's a running joke, but not a very good one.
All right, Marshall, thank you so much. So Mad Max, you go for at least the first hour and enjoy that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mad Max is unlike any action movie you've seen in a long time, and it's really exciting. It's definitely very violent, but not particularly graphic. But you will, it's hard not to walk out of it feeling adrenalized.
And for all the listeners of this show that are 15 and under, go see Pitch Perfect 2.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, Marshall. Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend.
With film critic Marshall Fine, I'm Mike Bennett, and you are listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
From the Fab Five through 15 NBA seasons, this guy was money in the paint. He averaged 20 points and nearly 10 rebounds per game and rattled a few rims with his powerful dunks.
Oh, Chris Webber with the 40!
So where is Chris Webber now? Chris married longtime girlfriend Erica Dates shortly after retiring. He's a major investor in a massive Chicago real estate development project. His foundation helps at-risk youth in his native Detroit. And Chris is a hoops analyst for TNT. Plus, he's produced for rapper Nas.
I was young. I was surviving the time.
Sounds like a slam dunk to me. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
It's fast, it's furious, it's totally bonkers, so buckle up because Furious 7 is a hell of a ride. I'm in.
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers: Age of Ultron, now playing in theaters.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. California's CHP transferred new motorcycle course training, saying the former program was more about selling bikes than learning. A sneaky way to scare away potential new bikers. Today on American Biker Minute.
The Movie Man 6-second DVD review starts now.
A timely, important biopic and one of the best movies of the year. If you have a dream, march to see Selma. I'm in.
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers: Age of Ultron, now playing in theaters.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. The California Highway Patrol has handed over motorcycle training to a company called Total Control Training. The CHP has mandated more emphasis on preventing crashes by what the cops say is being honest about the inherent danger involved in motorcycling. Hey, new riders already know their fun involves a certain amount of danger, so what is the point? Frightening new riders in an attempt to place fewer of them on the open road isn't training, and it certainly isn't biker-friendly politics. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.